Leviticus 25, verse number 10, it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We want to welcome you today and let you know this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And right here in Boone, North Carolina, our population has increased tremendously because the students are back for their fall semester. And we want to welcome our students to town. And we're glad you're here. I want to let you know about a ministry that our church supports and is out of. It's called Collegians for Christ, and they have a weekly Bible study on campus. It is a recognized club at the Appalachian State University. If you would like more information concerning that, you can go to cfcboone.com, and they have a weekly Bible study every Tuesday night on the ASU campus. So then there's a meeting time and place and everything on there. So I wanted to let you know about that today as we were getting started. Again, that is cfcboone.com. And it's good to have Noah here in the studio today. Noah, have you had a good day so far?
I have. It's been busy, but it's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And today, well, I could invite you to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I usually do that, but I got to thinking about the college students coming back. But this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are located on Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South. If you're going out of Boone on 105 towards Fosco, and you go down the mountain, it's actually about 2 miles from the last red light. And that is right there where New River Building Supply. And then when you pass the Tomato Shack on the right, the next ride after that is Baird's Creek Road, and we're just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So we'd love for you to come out and be with us in any or all of our services. And we have a lot more information on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, mountlebanonbc.org. But today we're going to start a new series, and I'm excited about this. I've been praying about it, thinking about it for several weeks. We have been talking about finances, personal finances. Last week we talked about national finances, the way our founders intended for it to be, and we spent about 6 or 7 weeks talking about that. But today we're going to start a new series entitled, or the subject would be, What I Can Do for My Country. What I Can Do for My Country. I've been thinking a great deal about that. Have you ever thought about that? What could you do to be of greatest benefit to your country? And a lot of things might come to our mind. I thought about a quote, and I'm going to read a quotation from President John F. Kennedy's inaugural address. It was given January 20th, 1961. And that is a great speech, by the way. I went back and I read the whole thing. I never read the whole thing, but I'm sure you're familiar with this quotation from that speech. He said, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." That is very famous, a very famous American quotation by one of our American presidents 54 years later. 54 years later, and I read that speech today, and he was talking about what could be done, and he said something along the lines that this will not be accomplished in 100 days. You know, presidents, when they get voted in, they talk about the first 100 days. He said this will not be accomplished in 100 days. It will not be accomplished in 1,000 days. He talked about a lifetime, a generation. He talked even about after he was gone. But he asked the question, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And 54 years later, I would say there's a great deal that would ask the question, What's the country going to do for me? What do I get out of it? What's my benefit? What do I get? But, you know, there was a greater time than this when it was stressed upon the minds and hearts of people in America to ask what they could do for the country. And so I've been thinking about that, what I can do for my country. And we may think of several answers. I was thinking about, you know, what would they have thought in 1961 when the president said that? What would people think in 2015 when we bring that up again? What can you do for your country? And I'm sure if we were to put our minds together and we were to think of some things that we could do, there would be several different answers that would be given out. I served in the United States Armed Forces, and millions of others have done the same thing. There was a time in their life, maybe they went for 2 years to the Army or to the Marines or the Air Force or the Navy or the Coast Guard. Maybe they went for 3 years, 4 years. Maybe they went for 20 years and served our nation in the military or the armed forces. That is something that might come to our minds that we could do for our country. Somebody else might say, well, we could get involved politically speaking. We could be informed on the issues. We could vote. It's amazing that in a free country, so few people actually vote. They talk about this every election year, that trying to get more people to get out and vote and to be informed. Somebody said, well, I can vote. That's something I can do for my country. I can be informed and up to date about what's going on. Some people say, well, you could run for office. And, of course, that's something that you could do. You could do that locally. You could do that statewide. You could do that nationally speaking. Somebody runs for office, and they get out there, and they put their thoughts and, you know, what I think ought to be done. That would be a way that you could get involved. Not everybody can run for office. Maybe you could find somebody you like and support a candidate. A lot of candidates, they ask for financial contributions, and people will support them financially. Or maybe they need volunteers to get out here and knock on doors or make phone calls or make posters or hand out flyers or something like that. All of these are just a few ways we could potentially do something for our country. But today, what I want to do, I want to begin in the Bible. As I was thinking about this, a passage of Scripture came to my mind when I began to think about what I could do for my country. And I mean, really do for my country. I was thinking about Blessings of Liberty and a radio broadcast and taking just 30 minutes every week and teaching, preaching something from God's Word, talking about something that's very important to our country. I thought about, you know, is that the best use of my time and effort? What can I do for my country? I want to do something. Something needs to be done. Our nation needs some help, and I want to make a positive difference. I'm sure there's many listening in today. You'd say the same thing. What could I do? What could we do? Well, I thought about 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to read those verses in just a moment, and I'm going to talk about what the Bible says we can do for our country. And here in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and he's telling him something in these four verses that he could do, that young Timothy could do for his country. Now, Paul is older at this time. Timothy's younger. Paul is an old preacher. Timothy is a young preacher. Paul is an older Christian. Timothy is a younger Christian. So there's a lot of ways we could look at this. Preacher, pastor, what could you do for your country? Christians, what could you do for your country? That would be positive. That would be good. And so here we have one pastor, one preacher. He's writing to another, one Christian to another. And before I read the scripture, I want to say that this applies universally. And what I mean by that, it applies around the globe. A lot of times we just think about America, but there's a lot more countries in the world than America. But if you were listening on the internet in France or in Mexico on our website, the number one country that listens in besides America is Israel, and then Japan and Canada. And that amazes me. And we have a lot of people that go to our website and download messages and radio broadcast. And so this would apply to their country. If you live in the country of Tennessee, it applies to you over there as well. You know, it doesn't matter where you're from, what your citizenship is, this applies. And so you can apply this all the way around the globe. This will work in a democracy. This will work if you live in a socialist country. This would work if you lived in a communist country. And so let's see what the Bible says we can do for our country. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all. And I love in the Bible when you have a list. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do or where to start. Do we start with the candidates? There's been a lot of talk about candidates. There's an election coming up in 2016, and already all of this talk about the candidates, all this talk about debates, all this talk about the issues. Do we debate this thing out on social media? Is that where we start? Do we start with a public forum? We need to do this first, then this second, then this third. Well, right here, the Bible makes it very, very easy. Where do we even start at? In some respects, it seems like our country's going along pretty good, but if you look at it morally, if you look at it spiritually, it's not doing very well. If you look at it economically speaking, well, people are running up and down the roads and burning gas and going to the store, no doubt about that. But are we on a solid economic footing? If you know anything about the world situation, you'd have to say, no, we're not. We're running in debt. And when we run in debt, we run in servitude to other nations. So there's a lot of things in our country. There's a lot of social unrest. There's a lot of animosity between authority, between the people, between the government, and between the those that are not in government. There's a lot of hatred in our country. So our country could use some help. Where do we start? What do we do? Well, Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all. And so we have a list in the Bible. The first thing we ought to do in what we're going to talk about today is prayer. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so there's four verses there we're going to begin to look at today. And first of all, what I can do for my country, I can pray for my country. And it says, I exhort therefore that first of all. Now, not everybody can run for office. And, you know, I've looked at this down through the years. What can you do? Well, get involved. Run for the school board. Well, not everybody can do that. Not everybody's suited to do that. Run to be get on the board of the county commissioners. Get on the town council. Get involved. Not everybody can do that. It's not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody is suited to do that or would do a good job. Not everybody can organize a political effort. Not everybody can organize a email drive or a phone drive or a letter writing campaign. Not everybody has time to sit around and write letters. Not everybody has time. I certainly do not have time to just read and keep up with all the issues that are going on. And there's a lot of important things. You just about have to pick one and specialize in it. But nobody can read. I mean, we are flooded with information about one thing and another thing. And, hey, they're all important. But nobody can keep up with all of these things. But what I want to say today is that everyone can pray. Not everybody can even vote. You know, there's young people that are concerned about our nation. What are they going to inherit? what is it going to be like? They're not old enough to vote, but they can pray. An elderly person may say, well, preacher, I can't get out and do anything. I can barely get out and go vote, or I can't get involved in this campaign or this rally, or I can't ride down here and stand on the street, or whatever it is that people think needs to be done. But you know what? You could pray. Church members can pray, and pastors can pray, and patriotic people that just love their country, they can pray. Anybody can pray. You don't have to have a college degree to pray. You don't even have to know a whole lot what's going on. You just might look at the whole picture as a whole and say, man, we're in trouble. Well, you can pray about it. That is one thing. That is the first thing that each and every person listening in can do. Now, prayer here is broken down into four parts. And I want to take just a minute to say a little bit about these four parts of prayer. Paul said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And there's not a period there, but it goes on when it says for all men. Who are you talking about? It said for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So he breaks down prayer into four parts. There's supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. First of all, he said supplications. Now, supplications in the Bible begins with me. Where does prayer start? Prayer, real prayer, I'm talking about praying and actually communicating with God, not saying words, but it begins with me. What I mean, my heart must be right. So that's where supplications begin. Supplications begins with me. That's where it needs to begin. Lord, I'm poor and needy. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I need strength. Lord, I need wisdom to even know what to pray about. Lord, I need forgiveness. Lord, I need to forgive somebody. Lord, I need grace. Lord, I need peace in my life. These are what supplications are. It is me talking to the Lord about my spiritual condition. That's where it has to start. How's this sound if you're the Lord? I've got all kinds of problems in my life, but I don't want to talk about them. But Lord, I sure want you to get a hold of the president. Lord, I sure want you to get a hold of the governor. No, prayer. The thing about prayer, if people really took prayer seriously, they would first of all look at their own lives. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So honest prayer, real prayer, has to start with the individual. So that's where we need to start. I'm looking at my own self. That's what supplications are in the Bible. I'm praying about my own spiritual condition. That's where I've got to start. Do you know what a difference our country would make if each and every person would just begin to look at their own selves? And, you know, we hear a whole lot about judge not that you be not judged. What if judgment begins with me? What if I begin with myself? That's where it needs to start. And that's what supplications has to do with. So if I want to make an impact, if I want to do something for my country, well, I get my own life in order. And so there's prayer, there's supplications. First of all, that begins with me. Second of all, he said prayers. That first of all, supplications, prayers. Now, prayers in the Bible are consistent things that we pray about, things that we ask about on a regular basis. Somebody may say, I'm praying about something. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a career. It's something. So a lot of people keep a prayer list. I have a preacher friend of mine. He has told me many, many times that he has hundreds of pastors on his prayer list, and that at some time during the week, he will call my name out. The Bible talks about making mention of you in my prayers. Paul talked about that in the book of Romans. And so he has a list. This is something that he prays over regularly. Or we might say something like, well, there's some things I'm praying for. Maybe this is people that we're praying for. We should definitely pray for kings and for all that are in authority. That's our leaders. That's the president. That's the senators. That's the congressmen. That's the judges. That's the police, and that is all that are in authority, that they have some authority. It's the governor, it's the town council, it's the commissioners, it's the school board, all that are in authority. It's people that we pray for on a consistent, regular basis. It's praying for my pastor. It's praying for missionaries. It's praying for those that have ministries and do important things. It's praying for our military. And so prayers are things that we pray for on a consistent basis. It's events that are coming up that we're concerned about. Maybe a church is having revival. We ask the church to pray about it. Months and months and months before we have Vacation Bible School at our church, first thing we do, we begin to pray about it. And we ask the Lord's blessing. We just recently, several area churches, we came together and had a youth challenge day. I think this was the fourth or fifth year. And we were praying about it. We were praying about the weather. Somebody said, what if it rains? I mean, we went outside. It's like a field day. And we have preaching and just a great time. But boy, if it really rained, I just don't know what we would do. And somebody said, what if it rains? I said, I don't know what we'll do. We'll just pray about it. And we'd been praying about it, and a lot of people had. And that's what prayers are. Prayers are things that we pray about on a regular, consistent basis. Then Paul talks about intercessions. Intercessions. What in the world is intercessions? There's a great example of intercessions in the Bible. In Genesis chapter number 18, I'm going to turn over there and read a few verses. But in Genesis chapter number 18, what we have is the Lord visits with Abraham. And the Lord is on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now the Lord appears to Abraham as an angel. As an angel and just regular men. And they come by on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But they stop off at Abraham's house. You can read about this in Genesis chapter number 18. And they have a meal together. And they're getting up and they're getting ready to go. And in Genesis chapter 18 verse 16, the Bible said, and the men rose up from thence. Now one of these men was the Lord. And the Lord Jesus pre-incarnate. Well, that's a whole nother theological subject on its own, but that's who it was. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Abraham said, you got to leave so soon. I'll just walk you out, and I'll go with you a little ways down the road. In verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And there in the last part of verse number 22, where the Bible says, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. This is a beautiful picture of intercession. And what we find in the following verses, verse 23 through 33, is basically Abraham, he intercedes before the Lord. And I'm paraphrasing now. He said, Lord, what are you talking about? What are you going to do? You're going to go down there and you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Will the righteous be destroyed with the wicked? And Abraham starts interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah before the Lord. Now, Abraham, now, if you don't get anything else, get this. Abraham did not say, yeah, Lord, that's right. Go down there and kill all them wicked people. Go down there and destroy them. Is there anything I can do to help? That's not what he said. But Abraham starts out and he says, Lord, what if there's 50 righteous people there? Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Wouldn't you spare them if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord said, I'll spare them. And then Abraham gets to thinking about it. Well, I know Lot, my nephew, he's down there, and man, I don't know. I don't know if there's 50 people or not. I'm trying to think about all his friends and neighbors and his family. He said, Lord, what if there's just lacking 5 people? And there's only 45 righteous people. And the Lord said, if there's 45 righteous people, you read this in your Bible when you get near it. The Lord said, if there's 45, I'll spare it for 45. And it goes right on down the line. Abraham, he thinks a little bit more. Man, I don't know if there's 45 or not. He said, Lord, what if there's just 40? And the Lord said, if there's 40, I'll spare it. And he goes down. He said, what if there's only 30? What if there's only 20? What if there's only 10 righteous people in the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Now, Abraham had been, we would say, pestering. What about 50? What about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? And he said, Lord, don't let the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went on his way as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. That is a picture of intercession. We need more intercessors. I really believe with all my heart one of the reasons why it is so well with us in America today is because there are many intercessors. We never meet together at our church that somebody doesn't say, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to intercede. We need to pray for kings. We need to pray for those that are in authority. And we need more intercessors than we do commentators. We got plenty of commentators. I began reading a book this week. It was first printed in 1946. And the name of the book is Prayer, the Mightiest Force in the World. And in the first chapter, there's one sentence that's worth the whole chapter. And it just simply says this about prayer. It says, silence is more powerful than noise. We live in a very noisy world. Everybody under the sun can put what they think on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and every newspaper article that's written and posted on the internet can be commented on and debated about. And everybody's throwing what they think out there to the point that it's just like everybody screaming all at the same time in a crowded room that after a while it's just annoying. It's just annoying. We live in a very noisy world. The whole world is talking at once, and it's deafening. Think about this. What if all the people on there that believed in prayer would just pray? Do you think that would make any difference? If all the churches that come together for prayer meeting and Sunday morning worship, if they would just pray, and I mean really pray? There's an illustration in that book. It talks about fanner bees. In a hive, there are bees that their whole purpose is just to keep the hive the right temperature. And they'll line up and they'll all move their wings at the same time, and they create a huge vacuum and they pull the bad air out while the fresh air comes in the other side. And the hive keeper said it's their job to keep the hive sweet and fresh. It says America has all the worker bees she needs. She does not have enough fanner bees. The greatest need in America today is for prayer. And so we say amen right there. The greatest need in America today is for prayer. Intercessors, people that will go before the Lord on behalf of our nation, our leaders, the spiritual, the moral state of our country. I see our time is quickly coming on today, but we'll pick up right there where we left off on a giving of thanks next week. And how important that is. Appreciate you listening in. Have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.